Greetings and welcome to the Circuit Rider Broadcast. This will be our last broadcast in the book of Hosea. In Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, the scripture says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thy iniquity. You know, it's really interesting right there as we read these verses, and we know if you've been along with us here in the book of Hosea, Israel, obviously, when we read in the Old Testament, and we're going to read several verses of scripture here in this broadcast here to show about how Israel kept going back and serving other gods and rejecting God and not worshiping properly, God was angry. And many, many times, as we know what the psalmist says about the idea of how they went backward and how they fell, and then God had mercy upon them and so forth, and God sicked the Philistines on them and others, and the Assyrians and so forth. And then the people would repent and come back to God, the children of Israel. Why he's addressing Israel here, and he says, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Boy, could we ever relate with that in the New Testament, in the church age, in the age, the church age that we're in now. I mean, here you got and when we read why in Revelation and chapter 2 and chapter 3, that's the seven churches of Asia. We remember that God pretty much laid out a history for us to see the ups and downs about the church age and the church periods there. The time of the church of Ephesus and Smyrna, and you had Philadelphia. And obviously the last one, oh my word, Laodicea, they are after their rights, civil rights. That's what that meaning is. If you've studied us and you've been with us as we studied the book of Revelation, why the idea of it is that we're in a bad day today. I mean, it reminds me, and this book was very appropriate for the time that we are in. And boy, could we ever see the parallels here. And here God, even in spite of sin, in spite of the backslidden conditions, he says in chapter 14, verse 1 of Hosea, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Why did you realize and see that? I mean, it's very obvious. You know what? We sin because of our sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We have a lot of holier than thous today in the appropriate naming of the church age that we're in today, the church of Laodicea. They're all about themselves. Isn't that the truth? I mean, the idea of it is, you know, I mean, when we go back and we look at Revelation in chapter 3, why, you know, the scripture says here, unto chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 14, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I know thy works. Why, we don't hide from God. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold. Notice how God says cold first. I will never forget years and years ago when I was studying this, and that really, really grabbed a hold of me, how God says, I would you were just cold. Get out. Or hot. Get in. One of the two. Stop going along and being a lukewarm. So then because thou art lukewarm, verse 16, and neither cold nor hot. You know, I mean, lukewarm, you know, put a little bit of cold, a little bit of hot, you know, and the idea of it is one day you might be cold, the next day you might be hot on fire for God. And that's the way it is today in the church of Laodicea. And look what they say in verse 17, because thou sayest, I'm rich. This is how the church looks at themselves. I mean, we realized how much Israel looked at themselves. And they confess themselves. Well, you're our God, God. I mean, you know what? We're serving you. But you know what? They turned around and would go right back in the same breath. And I mean, they'd go over and worship Ashtaroth and Baal and other gods and do things that God told them not to do. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. But looky here, in that same verse, look how God's looking at him. And knowest not that thou art wretched. God's calling it like it is today. This is how the church age is today. Just like Israel was back when Hosea was prophesying to him. I mean, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They don't have anything to give to the Lord. Nothing. Oh, I mean, well, we'll go to church. We'll have our little religious deed. And then they go on and look like the world, smell like the world, talk like the world. And you know something? That's the church age today, parallel with how Israel was. And you know what? God, here, God names it like it was. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. And that's just like the church age today. I mean, listen, the church has done it to itself. They're not devoted and committed to the Lord. Oh, listen, thank you, we're saved. Oh, yeah, yeah, we have a ticket out of hell. Yeah, we're saved. We got our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then you go on living, continually living the American dream. What a pitiful, rotten shame. Whatever happened to some good men and good women that absolutely surrendered their lives to the Lord? Where do you ever find that anymore in the day and age that we live in? In verse 2 of Hosea chapter 14, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Now here is some repentance from Israel. Why Hosea says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Now what was really interesting here, I mean, when I was looking at words, this was really good. This was something here when I seen this. Talking about words, and I came across some verses of scripture. Let me read them to you. We look up these words here. Let me look at what it says here. It says here in Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 21. Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words. I'm going to ask you today, as we read these verses of scripture, what are your words that are coming out of your mouth? What are you speaking today? Is it the worldly words? Is it words that profit your flesh? Or are they words, goodly words? Job chapter 6, verse 25. How forcible are, this is what Job said, how forcible are right words? But what doth you, your arguing, reprove? Why, do you know how many people, why they argue, they're argumentative. I mean, the idea of it is they don't have a kind word or in a forcible word into doing right and into doing good and quoting verses of scripture. What are your words? And I mean, you know, when you go out and you're talking and you're having a conversation, is it uplifting? Is it to encourage somebody to do good and to do right? Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26, the scripture says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. So the wicked, that's the lost. I mean, the thoughts, the very thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. God hates it. But it says in that same verse, the words of the pure are pleasant words. Are your words pleasant? Look, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 15, or Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24. It says, pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul. And boy, look at this, health to the bones. Oh, I mean, it gets into the core. Health. Did you catch that? Maybe the way the words are today. Listen, I preach a message called The Day of Deception. We are in the day of deception. Just look around. Look at your government. Look at the news media. Where do you find truth anymore? When I pass out the gospel tracts, I've told this to my congregation multitudes of times. You know, when I say, I lay it down and give it to somebody, when we go and so forth, and I'll say, this is the only truth the world has left, the Word of God. And that's the truth. And the idea of it is that pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. What are the words that come out of your mouth? Look at, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 32, verse 7. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. So in other words, what's your conversation? What are the people doing? Lying. What's the government doing? Lying to the people? I mean, listen, and when the people want to do good and do right, why, you know what? They destroy the devices to destroy the people, destroy the poor with lying words. What are the words? I have a whole pile load more of verses of scripture, but we got to keep on going here. Look what it says here in Hosea, and at chapter 14, verse 2. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. What do you think God would have you to be talking? What should our conversation be? Well, according to the Word of God in the book of 1 Peter, I mean, our words and our conversation ought to be that which becometh of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, are they good and healthy words? Are they truth? And turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity. I mean, that's what you ought to be talking to the Lord. You know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Are you praying that prayer? Lord, help me, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Paul said, I die daily. And then it says, so will we render the calves of our lips. Now, what's interesting about this, render means to return. And looky here, to give up. Why, in Hosea chapter 13, it says, and now, verse 2, they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver. This is what Israel was doing, and we've already been over this. And idols according to their own understanding. Remember how I told you about that? Whatever their own understanding. Where do you get your understanding from? Watching that devil vision? I mean, what you put in front of your face. I mean, the books you read, the people you hang with. That's where you come up with your understandings. Who you associate with. All of it, the work of the craftsman. Remember the craftsmen and the occupations about making other gods that people bow down and worship to. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. And so that's kissing the gods? Why, we know a religion, I mean, that bow down and kisses the statue of Mary. kissing the Pope's ring? Why, it says, so will we render the calves. Render, I mean, we're going to give it up. The calves of our lips. I mean, this is repentance here. No, we're not going to do that no more, they're saying. In Hosea 14:3, Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods, small G-O-D-S. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. Yeah, that's where the fatherless find mercy. You know what? You go to the God of this universe. Amen, amen, you'll find mercy. Amen. You know what it says here in Hosea and chapter 14 and verse 3? I want you to look at this a minute. Look with me, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 31. And let's begin reading here in verse 1. It says, woe to them that go down to Egypt. By the way, do you remember I said this before? I mean, Egypt is a type of the world. And when you and these people, the Israelites, were going to Egypt for help. Instead of going to God and praying and asking God for his help and his protection and his provision, why, you know what? These people were so worldly that they were going to Egypt. And it says, stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise, and will bring evil, and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers, and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God. Did you catch this? Are you? I hope you're reading this with me. Isaiah chapter 31 and verse 3. The Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. Why, do you remember in the Gospel of John, those that worship me shall worship me in spirit and in truth? That's what Jesus said. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they shall all fall together. Yeah. I mean, in other words, listen here. God's going to deal with the world, buddy. You know, there's a 7-year tribulation period coming, brother. And brother, what a wicked time it will be. Amen, amen. In the book of 1 Kings, I want you to see this here. In 1 Kings and chapter 12, look what it says. Then Jeroboam, verse 26. Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold. Remember how we were talking about kissing the calves? And said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel. That's what the people were told, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Now, let me tell you something here. This was the king. This was like the government guiding the people. And he said, this right here, these calves that we've made here, these be the gods that brought you out of Egypt. And you know that was a lie. you know that that was wrong. And the idea of it is this is the time period, and this is where we're at right now. And then, so over here in Hosea, God was really upset with these folk. And as we were reading here, he said this. He said, Asher, verse 3, shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. So here's repentance. Here's the people. And for in thee the fatherless find mercy. And verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. This is God now speaking. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn, and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree. From me is thy fruit found. Who is wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent. And he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Now the last half of what I just read, if you've really grabbed a hold of this thing, you know it says here about how Israel, is going to, his branches are going to spread, the blessings are going to start falling upon him. You know what? This is a millennial reign. This is when what happens when all Israel, according to the book of Romans, and so all Israel shall be saved. Why, let me tell you something. You have these people today that speak this business here about the idea that, you know what, God is done with the Jew. No, God's not done with the Jew. I mean, every one of the covenants and the promises that were made, why, and the prophecies, why, about the future, the millennial reign of Christ, when Jesus Christ sits down to rule and reign in Jerusalem, why, that will literally, physically happen. And that is for the Jew. Amen. And we're going to find that one day, why, you know what? All Israel is going to be saved. Hallelujah to God. Look with me if you would. And let's go to the verses of Scripture here. We're going to go to the book of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 50, and I want you to look at this. In Jeremiah chapter 50, we're going to look at several. We're going to look at some of the verses of Scripture. I see I'm running out of time. We're going to look at these verses of Scripture here that deal with the future of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 50. In Jeremiah chapter 50, look if you would with me in verse 30. Verse 20, excuse me, where it says, in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. What happened to the sin? What happened to all of the times and the troubles? What happened when Israel was sinning against God? Well, God took it away. He says, and God is God, he can do this. And it says here, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Did you catch that? God's going to do it. God is the only one that can absolutely pardon the sin. Amen, amen. In the book of Romans, I quoted this verse before, but I want you to see it. In Romans in chapter 11, and we can look at verse 26. And it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. And it says, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Why, think about that. For this, verse 27, is my covenant unto who? The church? Not in your life, Bubba. It's unto them. Why, who was he addressing? Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sin. Amen, amen. This replacement theology, all this stuff these people that don't believe this old precious book and want to correct this old book, they get messed up anyway. And so, you know what? You want to think you know more than God, that you can correct God's holy word? Why, brother, that's a devil in the flesh. And I want to tell you what, in all sincerity, why, God is not done with the Jew. And you know something? All you have to do is look over and watch and see what's happening in Israel. God's not done with the Jew. And brother, one day there will be a great victory for those people, those chosen people. Hallelujah to God. In Jeremiah, in chapter 31, and let's begin reading in verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Why, there you go. Why, I mean, it was God that was the husband. And looky here at verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Who's going to do this miracle? Obviously, it's God. Are you believing what you're reading here? It says, For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And by the way, who is he addressing? Why, the house of Israel, along with the house of Judah. You see, all Israel's going to be saved. And you know something? They have a wonderful, wonderful future. And if you do your homework and you study, and you, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's like these jokers going around saying, well, we're building the kingdom. We're building the kingdom. You ain't building nothing. And the idea of it is that they don't even know what kingdom they're even talking about. They don't know that there's a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is obviously a spiritual kingdom. Amen, amen. And the kingdom of God is a literal, physical, visible kingdom. I mean, that will be, and it's really, in all sincerity, you're going to see this. And when will this start? In the millennial reign, at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes back and sits on the throne and takes the throne. And brother, what a glorious, glorious thing it will be. I want to tell you one thing. I hope that you've enjoyed this, and we're going to continue on. And may God help you to see your need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If you was to leave this world right now, where would you spend eternity? In this church age today, right now, where we're at, the Bible says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Oh, listen. The Bible talks about it. You know, the Bible says we're sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. I mean, that's you, that's me. That's your mama, your dad, that's my mom, my dad, my grandfather, my grandmother, my aunt, my uncle, my sisters, my kids. All of us are sinners. Every single one. And the idea of it is that we all need a Savior. I mean, it's for by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. What is the faith? The faith to believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He wants you to be saved. And all you have to do is repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize and confess and admit that you are a sinner. And I mean, you're on your way to hell right now. If you was to leave this world unsaved, you'd end up in hell. But you know what? You don't have to go to hell. Jesus loved you enough to die for you. He shed his blood to atone for your sin, for my sin, and for the sins of the whole world. Won't you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It is so simple. Bow your head and pray and ask the Lord Jesus to save you. And let me tell you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, I wish that you'd get saved. And if you have, if you bow your head and pray and you'd receive Jesus, why don't you let me know about it? You can write to me at thecircuitwriter@protonmail.com. That's thecircuitwriter@protonmail.com. And if you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, oh, we got some free material for you. All you have to do is just write to me. thecircuitwriter@protonmail.com. May God help you to see the truth.